things that are happening in the church. And this is what he writes. He says, he talks about putting on the new man. When a person gets saved, what happens? Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. When you get saved, there's a change in your life. My mama used to say, man, he really, really got saved. Which meant that he was walking the Bible way. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. One of the commandments is we love one another. And it sounds like it's probably the greatest of all commandments is the fact that that's how people tell who you are, tell you apart from the world. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. This I say therefore, testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so, be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of mind, that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. And I think God just put that in, just want to remind us. Some people do get mad. I get mad. I get upset. And there are some things that I think a man ought to get upset with. Jesus Christ had righteous indignation. He came in, turned over the tables that were in the temple. I think a man ought to get upset about sin. A man ought to get upset about people that do not want to live a holy life. That upsets me. Because you're taking away my opportunity to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. And if you live the way you're living, and I go to try to tell someone about Jesus Christ, they'll say, hey, is he a member of your church? Or is she a member of your church? I said, I wouldn't have nothing to do with your church. So I think the man of God will get upset about that. I think the members there in the Baptist church all get upset about that. They're amazed what people put on Facebook. What would you put that on there for? But that shows their hidden heart. They think they're hidden in their house, but they're showing the whole world their ignorance of Christianity. That's too bad. Be angry, sin not. Let not the sun go down your ass. So take care of it. Amen. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. That's really simple. Hey, get to work. There are some people who need some things. You be a good person to them. You help them out. Amen. Somebody helped you out at one time. Amen. Boy, I remember my wife and I first married. Oh, my goodness. They said it was cheaper. It's cheaper to be married than to be single. That was a big lie. Man, I didn't know what we were going to do. I was praying. And sure enough, a guy at work brought me over a box of frozen pork. He said, I slaughtered a couple of pigs. He said, I don't know if you'd like this or not, but he says, I just thought I'd bring it to you. You know, that man got saved after that, probably about 20 years later, got saved, went to Grace Baptist Church of Old Town, Minnesota. And here, he was such a kind man. But he got saved, amen. And let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearer. Watch our mouth. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby we are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Hey, I got an idea. Could that also mean that when Peter said to Jesus, how many times I got to forgive this person? Seven times? And Jesus said, no, 70 times seven. And then Jesus said, let me tell you a story. There was a guy who owed this man a lot of money, millions of dollars. And he came to him and demanded that he give his money back. And he got on his knee and he worshiped him. He said, sir, I can't, please help me out. And the guy forgave him of everything. I don't know about you, but that'd been a pretty great deal. And then the guy who was forgiven everything came over and grabbed the guy by the nape of the neck, and he owed him $10. Now remember, now the other guy owed him how many? Millions. About $10. And he says, pay me now. He said, man, have mercy upon me. He says, if you don't pay me now, I'm going to throw you in jail. And he threw him in jail, and his wife sold his wife and his child. I wrote last night in my notes that were deleted some wonderful way. God, there's always spies. God always has his spies. And the guys who were working on this got upset and went to the master. The master, you forgave this guy, but look what he did to his friend. And what did the Bible say? the old boss went over and said, okay, buddy, the way you treat him, I forgave you of everything. And you wouldn't forgive this guy just a little bit? Fine, you go to jail. And you'll pay it. And cast it in uttermost darkness. Amen. And what the idea is, the whole idea is this. God has forgiven you of so much. So much. So much. And we ask God, God, forgive me my sins. I ask you to forgive my sins coming to my heart. Say, amen. How many did that? Huh? And then your friend comes by, and maybe they scratch your car out in the parking lot, or maybe they borrowed something and they forgot to bring it back to you, or maybe they said something about your sweet little snotty kid, and you got upset, forgetting how bratty your kids were. And you don't forgive them. And God says, hey, and be kind one to another. I don't know about you, but life is really fierce. It's mean. Life is tough. Life is hard. We live on the corner of trouble and sorrow every day. And for me to go through what I'm going through and you, what you're going through, and then have someone who calls himself a Christian come and just nail me or nail you and, you know, jack slap you to tomorrow. And you, I don't know about you, but I can't take much more. In fact, I don't want to take any more. And my heart's breaking. And your heart's breaking. To have someone come up with the audacity, they're going to teach you a lesson. Now, God said, no, I just want you to know that you take your heart of forgiving one another. And what the end is this, even as God, for Christ's sake, have forgiven you. Shame on us. Shame on us for living like an atheist, living like the world. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you love the brethren. I want to continue that tonight. Father, speak to our hearts. Dear God, please help us to be so careful how we act and how we react. In Jesus' name, amen. When Jesus Christ says, by this all men will know, Christ again confirms not only that they know that you are my disciple by your profession, but also the most is by your love for the brethren. And they acknowledge that. Since Christ lays down this mark of distinction between his disciples and the stranger, they who lay aside brotherly love and adopt a new invented mode of worship, they labor in vain and it's in folly, because God said, this is how people know. Well, if I just dress a little bit better, or I become more, quote unquote, more fundamentalist, or I become more independent. Boy, if I just, I'm just a King James only guy, man, I'm a soul winner, I'm a bus worker. No, God says, no. That's all good. But he says, I'll tell you, it's not. That's not it. What is it is that people see that I love the brethren. Don't come to me and bragging and telling me all the things you're doing. You just show me you love each other. Then I'm happy. That's what Jesus said. Here's a thought. Self-love keeps all our senses bound in such a manner that brotherly love is altogether banished. Can I read that back to you again? Self-love keeps all our senses bound in such a manner that brotherly love is altogether banished. And yet we think that we fully discharge our duty because Satan has many enticements and devices that prevail to us, and we think that we're such Mr. Christian. Whoever then desires to truly a disciple of Christ, acknowledged by God, let him form and direct his whole life to love the brethren, and let him pursue this object with great diligence. I am going to love you. But I'm not only going to love you, but I'm going to love those guys, my next door neighbor. I'm going to love those people that hate me and despise me and use me improperly. I am going to be what Jesus said, love the brethren. It's very difficult. I guarantee you, for the next week, I'll live this thing. I'm going to be put in front of people that are going to talk to me and going to be mean to me, and I'm going to have to love them. Because that's what the Bible says, because I want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Well, let's look at the source of man's love. Whatever love there is in man, whether it be towards God or towards a fellow man, let me tell you something. It comes from the source of God. Love is of God, and everyone that loveth is begotten of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. We love because he first loved us. 1 John 4:19. Trent, he was a great Bible scholar years and years ago. He was speaking on the word love, and he chose the word love, the agape love of the New Testament Greek. And he said this was born in the bosom of revealed religion. Heathen writers did not use it at all. They would not use this word agape. Their nearest approach would be philanthropia, which is, we get the word philanthropist from, or Philadelphia, you know, Philadelphia, city of love. The love between those of the same blood. Love in the heart of man is the offspring of the love of God. You get this now? You don't conjure it up. It comes from God. It comes from God. Love comes from God. Only the regenerate heart can truly love as God loves. To this higher form of love, the unregenerate cannot lay claim. He cannot figure it out. How could, you know, I used to hear someone say, you really can't love your wife unless you're a Christian. You can flail her, and you can show your love to her, but you can't really, oh, I just can't explain what it is for me to love my wife. There is no word for it. There's no way about it. And the same way with you. If you love the Lord Jesus Christ, He's going to give you this place in your heart that literally gives you that love that is needed. That's why we have so many people who got problems in their marriage. But the problem is what I'm seeing now, that the Christianity, quote unquote, independent Baptist churches, we're at the same level as the world in divorce now. God have mercy. What's going on? You're not showing much of a disciple of Christ, are we? Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and every one that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before Him. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. Brethren, I write no commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, the new commandment I write unto you, these things is true in Him and in you, because darkness is past and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. I don't know about you, I don't want to get blinded. I want to be very careful in how I live for God. For John 3:10. And this, the children of God are manifest. Listen on. And in this, the children of God are manifested. You remember Jesus said, this is how people will know you. You love the brethren. That's a manifestation. Here's the manifestation. And this, the children of God, is manifested. And the children of the devil. Whosoever doth not righteousness is not of God. Neither he that loveth not his brother. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Many times I'll marriage counsel, and family comes in, I'm talking to them, and sometimes they're just flipping out. They're hot. They're just, get this thing over. Either shoot me or shoot him, but just get it over with. And if you ever come to my office, or if you ever come to my office, you know this is the statement I make. All right. The Bible says you're supposed to love your husband. I can't love him. Well, that's a good start, amen. And I said, the Bible says you gotta love your wife. I can't love her. Okay. I said, how about this? God said you're to love his friends. Not my friend. Not my friend. Well then, how about sister and brother? You're a Christian, he's a Christian. Not my brother.
Not my sister.
I said, we got trouble here, don't we? Yes, we do. I don't know why I'm here. I told her I'd come one time. I said, okay. But I said, you got to find love someplace. I said, how about neighbors? You do live together. Yeah, kind of. Okay. I don't want to love that neighbor. I don't want to love that neighbor. I said, okay, I got a better one. The Bible said, love thy enemy. Usually that kind of breaks the ice and we start going, you know. Boy, what does the Bible say? We call ourselves Christians. We say we live by the Bible. We say we go by the Bible. We do what the Bible says until it has reference to something that we don't like. Got a problem there. The regenerated man is able to see his fellow man as God sees him. That's the difference. When I'm without Christ, I see my fellow man. I see him as a pest. I see him as a threat. I see my fellow man as. But when you become a Christian, you look at that person and you look at him and regenerate, and you say, you know what? I'm going to look at him as God looks at him. That's why that when certain people come into your life and you know they're a dirty, rotten, no good, bloggity, 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 blank person, and you see them get saved and you see their life changing and you're saying, you know what, there's some hope here. I am so glad that for a guy named Don Kisser, he was a deacon at Hope Baptist Church. One day he caught me doing something. He never said anything to me. But deep down inside, I knew he knew. And it really changed my life. He didn't rip on me. He didn't yell at me. He just put his hand on me, patted my shoulder, and that was it. He loved me. A regenerated man who knows Christ as personal Savior looks at each other and say, there is potential. There is hope. There's somebody that really could go someplace. We have some new families in our church. And I have some dreams for you. I got some dreams for you. I really do. I see where God could just, if you would just allow God to use you, there's no telling where in the world you could go. I mean, literally. So, when a man, regenerated man, looks at a man who gets saved, he values him as God values him, not so much because of what he is by reason of sin and unholiness, but because of what, through Christ, he may become. He says, he sees man in an intrinsic work and a possibility in Christ. Some people, they get your goat, amen. They frog you. You want a good night. But every once in a while, you see this little glimpse of saying, you know what? That guy could really do something for God. That guy could really be something. It's just for us to find a place for you and get you in the right place. In the right area of your life, that you can serve greatly for God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14, if you look at that, please, we're going to be on verse 17. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one die for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth, know ye no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Hey, listen to me. When we get saved, there should be a change in our life. There should be a change in our behavior, change of our wants and our desires. When you get saved, there should be a change. If there's not a change, I question your validity of your salvation. Because all through the Scripture talks about, by their fruits ye shall know them. If I see a family that, I see a person, a man or a woman that said they got saved, and all of a sudden I see them drifting away, and I see some things going on in their life. There are two things going to happen. One, God is going to jerk their chain because his son, or nothing happens. And boy, that puts me in a quandary when I see people that just go against God, go against God, go against God, go against God, and nothing happens. Doesn't that bother you? Because I'm looking, I'm saying, boy, I hope I didn't give them a false assurance of their salvation. Because something should be happening here. You see, your boat will come in someday. It'll come in a dock. Someday your airplane's going to land. Someday you're going to be rewarded for the things you've done good and the things you've done bad. I'm not here to get you to doubt your salvation, but I'm here to pulse and make sure of your salvation. I've seen teenagers just go crazy. And then all of a sudden, God gets a hold of them. And you're looking at one. And you know the hand of God. I will promise you, you know the hand of God. I don't care if you're 10 years old, or 11 years old, or 12 years old, or 13, or 14 years old, you will know the hand of God. And deep down inside, I said, I'm getting it, aren't I? This love is also created in the heart of man by the Holy Ghost. Romans chapter 5, verse 5, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us, and is the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is the fruit of the Spirit is? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Fruit. You plant something, you're going to get fruit. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Again, such as, there's no law. There's no law. You can be a grumpy old person you want. There's no law against it. But I'll guarantee you won't be if you've got the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart. Because you are going to be love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. Meekness, temperance. By the way, that ought to be shown in your home. It is also stimulated by the example of the Lord Jesus Christ, who, more than anyone else, manifested this in the world in the spirit of nature of love. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. John 15:12. This is my commandment, that ye love one another, as I have loved you. Paul writes to Galatians, he said, I am crucified in Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live in the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, husbands, love your wives. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it by the washing of the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy and without blemish. Boy, I'm telling you what, when I read that, I thought, boy, you know, I'm packing to go tomorrow, and I'm laying stuff there, and I'm not an ironer. I didn't learn that when I was in college. I don't iron. And boy, I was laying things carefully. And you know, you think of that, you know. I put my uniform, my Class A uniform, and all my stuff in there. And I don't want it to be wrinkled. What a great idea. I want to take care of my wife so carefully that there'd be no wrinkle or any spot in her. That's a great responsibility, you dads, you men out here that are married. She is a weaker vessel. There are certain things that she can't go through. That's why you are a man and you're to go through that stuff. Instead of saying, well, you take care of it, Ma. Well, hey, Pa. God didn't make that Ma to be a Pa. He made it to be a Ma. Ma are cushioned in the right places. And they have tender hands and tender bodies to love and to cherish and to... Us guys can come out and we punch each other and we ha ha ha, and, you know, slap each other and just... You thought I was going to do something, didn't you? And, well, I'll keep you awake up here. And you know, and us guys are supposed to be that way. Mama's not supposed to be like that way. So the Bible says, husbands, love your wife. And as God is going to present, as Jesus is going to present the Father, these, not wrinkled or spotted, he says, you know what, that's where you ought to be. Boy, you ought to walk careful with your wife. I'm concerned sometimes that our wives have to go through some surgery and some things because of the stupidity of the husband. Not taking good care of her. Well, 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. In this was manifested the love of God towards us because God sent His only begotten Son in the world that He might... through Him, that we might live through Him. Now, what is the object of a man's love? God must be first and supreme object of man's life. God must be the supreme object of a man's love. He must love him with all his heart, with all his soul, and love God with all his might. Jesus saith unto him, thou must love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, all thy mind. Jesus answered, the first of all commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment, and the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That's a big commandment if you have a neighbor that has a dog or a loud motorcycle or both. And the scribe said unto him, well, Master, thou hast said truth, for there is one God and there is none other but, and to love with all thy heart and understanding and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and love thy neighbor as thyself is more than all the world burnt offerings and sacrifice. And when Jesus saw the answer discreetly, he said unto him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that durst ask him any questions. So our love to God is shown by keeping his commandment, showing mercy unto the thousand and to them that love me and keep my commandments. Moses wrote there in Exodus. John 5:3. For this is the love of God, and we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Talk to the Orteses about the Hindus and the Buddhists. Their life is grievous. Every morning, every night, the sacrifices, the puja, all the other things go along with it. Give it their best. Get nothing from a dead god that they carved out of a wood or something. How sad. God said, hey, this is not grievous. Second John 1:6. And this is love, that you walk after his commandment. This is the commandment that ye, as ye have heard from the beginning, and walk in it. Love is here set forth in a more mere affection or sentimental. It is something that manifests itself not only in the obedience of the divine command, but also in the protecting and the defense of them and seeking to know more and more of the will of God in order to express love of God and further obedience. Those who love God will hate evil, all forms of worldliness, as expressed in the avoidance of the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eye. Psalm 97, verse 10. Ye that love the Lord hate evil. He preserveth the soul in his faint and delivers him hand of the wicked. Whether there be maybe in his surroundings that would draw his soul away from God, and righteousness as a child will avoid, Christ being God also claims the first place of our affections, and he tells us that we're to love him. I'm concerned for Christians that show no love. I'm concerned for people that are just hollow, or they're just plain mean. They show no affection. My thought of this, if there's no chance in you to love somebody, oh yeah, you love people that love you. Rick loves me, man. He's easy to love. He's my buddy. Do a lot of things together. Hey. Well, over here's another guy who don't love me. So what is my choice? I have no choice. By this shall all men know that you're my disciple, if you love the brethren. Years ago, there's a fellow, and he was at this church, and there's this kind of a boisterous guy, and boy, he got fired up with this guy, and finally he got right in his face. And the boisterous guy said, whoa, 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 whoa. He says, I didn't know I offend you. He said, well, you did offend me. You're very boisterous. You're mean. He says, oh, will you please forgive me? I didn't realize that. And the guy didn't say nothing. He said, hey, I'm asking you to forgive me. I'm sorry. And the guy wouldn't answer. He said, listen to me. God's word said you've got to forgive me. You know what happened? That guy was doing the same thing the other guy was doing. Well, he was boisterous and in his face. The other guy comes and he says, hey, I don't like what you're doing. The guy said, whoa, whoa, I'm sorry. I didn't know that I offended you. Will you forgive me? The guy says, no, I ain't going to forgive you. Wait a minute. Wait, whoa, whoa, whoa. It's good when the shoe's on our foot, you know. It's good when we're driving on this side of the road. But you let somebody else drive on the other side of the road and tick you off. Oh, yes, you do. Don't look at me like a cow looking at a new gate. Yes, you do. That's the thing that we are constantly battling. And Satan goes like this when he gets you. He caught you. And he says, checkmate. Gotcha. He's working, 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 working. All of a sudden you get frustrated with it, something, and you just kept saying, no, 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 to Satan, and all of a sudden, something hair triggers you. Something pulls that trigger. And all of a sudden, boom, you're there. And all of a sudden say, see, you're not a Christian. You can't even love the brethren. Hey, we have the wiles of the devil. He's out there to get us. He's out there to clean us, man. I'm telling you what, he's out every day. And he may use some of the sweetest Christians in the world to do it to you. And you'll say, that's it, I'm not going to that church anymore. And this church has loved you and led you to the Lord, led your children to the Lord, and baptized you and taught you and sent you places, maybe even given you financial ways and helped you some great way and taken care of you and everything. And all of a sudden you say, to that. Hey, 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 what's going on in your life? He says, there's got to be a better church. There are some better churches. A lot better churches. A lot better churches probably got better people in them. But God didn't call you to those churches. God called you here. I'm not a church hopper, not a church shopper. If my church preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it preaches that salvation is through faith and nothing else in Jesus Christ, And it is working and it's trying to tell people about Jesus Christ. Why do I want to go someplace else? If you're not satisfied here, I'll promise you can go someplace else. You're not going to be satisfied there. You'll be looking for another one. And once you start that domino effect in your life of checking out, checking out, checking out, you'll never be happy. What you could do is make your church a lot better by doing something instead of using up that space and breathing the air around here. You might be able to do something. Where'd that cat come from? Yeah. Well, I don't like the way the nurse is going. Well, then do something about it. I'm sure Aunt Pam would be more than Aunt Pam. Aunt Pam. I'm sure Aunt Pam would be more than happy to say, sick 'em. Well, I like the way the things are laid out. Well, go talk to Uncle Hobbs back here. And Grandma Hobbs. Great grandmother Hobbs. Great great grandma Hobbs. I see that light. And go say, hey, we'd like to help clean the church because we notice there are certain places around here that are just not just where they should be. By the way, would somebody take care of that? That's been bugging me, and every time I think about it, write that down. That looks like a bug or something up there. See, the problem is, if I'm self-serving and I want what I want, and I want it done my way, it'll never be done right. Because my expectation is a lot greater than your desire to serve. Think of that. I hear some of you guys, I sit in my office and some of our girls come home, their husband was in Saudi Arabia, and so I said, oh, I can't wait to eat at home, man. I'm going to look at it. Boy, we're just going to have so much fun and all this and all this and all this. And I said, whoa. I said, sit down a minute. I said, first of all, your husband has not been with you for 6 months. And you've been the boss. And you wrote the checks. And you've got on your face before God and begged money enough to get in there to pay those bills. And I said, now with that, he's going to come home and he's tired. He's sick of being around other guys. He just wants to be alone. I said, he'll notice you and you'll smell your perfume and happy days for a little bit, but I'll tell you what, he wants to get away. He wants to get away, just be by himself. And I said, you've got so much expectation, you're gonna kill him. Instead of putting a little spray of perfume, you're gonna drink the whole bottle of it. Instead of getting something, you're gonna get something huge, and it's gonna be a disappointment for you. Listen to me, listen, preachers and tell. I've been around these military guys for a long time. I'm telling you. Just let things happen. Don't. He's not Superman. You've been dreaming for 6 months the day he come home. And what are you going to do? Yeah, she ended up divorcing him because he could not meet her expectations. Stupid. Stop. Think. Back up. Relax. That's not my sermon, but I thought you needed it tonight. The sum of our total of a duty towards our fellow man, love worketh no ill of his neighbor. Love, therefore, is the fulfillment of the law. For he that loveth his neighbor hath fulfilled the law. The qualities which should characterize the love which we are to manifest toward our fellow man is so beautifully given us in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I'll paraphrase it. Love is patient, or charity is patient, without envy. It is not proud or self-elated. Neither does it behave discourteously. It does not cherish evil, but keeps good account of the good. Hear me? keeps good account of the good. When a person dies, for the most part, you will remember all the good things about him. Even though there are some troubles, you'll remember all the good things. And why don't you do that while you're living? It rejoices not in the downfall of an enemy or a competitor, but gladly hails his success. It is hopeful, trustful, and forbearing. For such there is no law, for they need none. They have fulfilled the law. Nor should it be overlooked that our God commanded his children to love their enemies, those who spoke evil of them and despitefully used them. Jesus said, hey, shut up. That's paraphrasing. There are some people going to be really mean in your life. You let God take care of it. Let him take care of it. Don't go spew all the evil they've done. Don't go pumping out the sewage of what they did. Just shut up. Because when you start spewing all that evil out, all of a sudden, you get some on you. When I was a pastor at First Baptist Church out in South Dakota, a guy who just passed away, his name was Clipper, and he had a pump for pig sewage. And he'd go and you would pump out their retaining of their pig fluids and you'd go plow them into the field. I'll guarantee you, you'd always get some on you. And Corey, you know what my wife said to me? Don't you come in here to this house with them on. You take them off in the garage. Man, I had effervescence about me. You could just see me glow. It smelled like super pig poop perfume. I mean, I worked with it all day and didn't get none. I mean, I couldn't tell it smells. Boy, I'll tell you what, my bum, her chest. Gee, you! Dang, you stink! You know, they want to hose me down right out there in the garage. That's what happens when you spew your filth of maybe a former relationship or problems at home or something. Hey, why don't you just give it to God? Dear God, I want you to handle this thing. I'm not in the sewer business. What sins are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore. Some of us live on the details of problems that we've had in years gone by. Does it do you any good? Does it change? Some of you girls may have been abducted or done something to. Even some of you guys. Do you any good to go back to it? No. I'm sorry. I wish I could change it. You give that to God. You say it's not fair. No. Why God let it happen to me? It may be that you could save your daughters. It may be that you could save your boys. It may be that you are street smart. But I promise you, when the end comes, God will take care of it for you. If he doesn't before, and I promise you it happens before a lot more. They were not to render evil for evil, but contrary blessing. The love of the disciples of Christ would manifest itself by supplying the necessity not of friend only, but also enemies. Our love should be without hypocrisy.
Oh, I love you. Y'all come back.
Don't tell me that. You're lying to me. That funny. Hey, why don't you come on back? We'd love to have you. Came back. What are you here for?
I said, you don't want to come back.
Oh, that's just a southern saying. Whoa. What do you mean it's a southern saying? You invited me to come back. Now Well, you can come in if you want. I had a family out by Cascade. They invited us to come out. Said, yeah, you can come out anytime. So, no problem. Load the car up. About a month later, had my brother, had my cousin, a doctor, with us. And I said, I'd like to show you some places. He's got beautiful horses out here and just beautiful. Come on. Got there and they said, what are you doing here? I said, well, you said we can come anytime. Well, not with. Well, not right now. We're busy. But I said, y'all come back. I mean, y'all come back. I got plenty of Swan's ice cream in. Right, Shane? I got Swan's ice cream in my freezer. Y'all come back. I'm glad you did. Hi. Have a seat. And be quiet. True love will find its expression to service to man. True love says, I'm going to look for something to help you. Even though you have been mean to me and caustic to me and you have been just downright mean, I'm going to find some way to be nice to you. That's true love. Ah! By this, so all may know. True love is to find that expression. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for the occasion unto the flesh, but the love serve one another. For all the love is fulfilled in one word. Even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Hey, you know what snows around here once in a while? You don't got a shovel? I wouldn't shovel that guy. Man, he throws his dumb stuff on my yard and I'd have nothing to do with it. Shovel his sidewalk. Well, I did, but he said it didn't good enough. Listen to what it says. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, this is talking about a wolf fight. If you bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. Why would we want to do that in our churches? Why would I want to devour you? Why would I want to ruin you? Why would I want to eat you? In fact, you may eat me. Why would I want to do that? Hey, hey, hey! I'll tell you what. When you start doing that, our missionaries around the world, this family leaves, and this family leaves, and this family leaves, then our missionaries around the world that we keep giving money to, guess what? You have just spoiled the opportunities of your church to be the kind of church it should be supporting missionaries around the world. When I first came here, we had 22 people. And about a year and a half, we run up about 149. Things were going really good. Until a couple guys didn't like being independent Baptists. And they were bragging about their movies and bragging about their playing cards and bragging about all the other things that they were doing. And come church time, they'd be going camping and said, hey, we get enough church. So I just brought out a good sermon. Preached out of what we are, the fundamental Bible-believing Bible preaching, hellfire, damnation, God-loving church. Amen. And I just named a few of their sins. Like a God-loving preacher would. And I heard it. Oh, man, we led so many to the Lord. And Bart Dane came to me one day and said, preacher, I got to talk to you. I said, what's going on? He says, you know so-and-so? I said, yeah. He says, he came over and told me how bad a preacher you were. Now, remember, we're having lots of people saved. Churches run about 149. Started with 22. And all of a sudden it started. And I had a new deacon. And deacon says, I don't know how to put a stop to that, preacher. I said, let's work this thing out. No, that's good. And he called a meeting of all the men of our church. Don't you ever do that again. Because I think I got saved a little bit more. But he was ticked off. And he called a meeting. He says, y'all bring your lunch. We're going to be here for a while. And so they're all there after church. I said, well, I hear we got a problem. And one guy says, he stood up. He said, preacher, I know the problem. I said, you do? He said, yeah, it's my wife. She's a gossiping woman. And she said some mean things about you, preacher, and it ain't true. I'm sorry. Woo! And a couple of the people said something. And somebody said, I think we've heard enough. And next Sunday we went to 89. All the former people that had started the church left with them. All the people that called me and begged me to come out. And the one kid that said to me, he said, preacher, 6 months I was here, and he said, preacher, I've always dreamed to have a pastor like you that loved me and loved my wife and loved my children. And I'm so glad you're our pastor. 6 months later said, I'm tired of taking your crap. Got right in my face. I thought he was going to fight me. Boy, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples. If you love the brethren. I can't see any other way you can do this in a church except love one another. I can't see this fighting and fussing and complaining and griping. I can't see that in a church. It is not biblical. And how can you go that way? 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Get it right now, right here, and say, dear God, hey, here's something that I'm going to do for the rest of my life. I'm going to be very careful that I protect this spirit of mine, and I'm going to be very careful that I am one of Jesus' disciples. You're not going to agree with me all the time. Probably none of the time. Sometimes. But I'll tell you what, there's a job that needs to be done. It'd be pretty nice just sit in the front row and just sit there. Love bears the infirmities of the weak. It does not please itself. But it seeks the welfare of others. That, to me, is the true caregiver verse. If you've ever taken care of a family member, this is what you did. Listen to me, because I know we have some in here like that. Romans chapter 15, verse 1. You ought to write it down in your Bible. We then, that are strong, ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Yeah, you did that. You're doing that. Then he says, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproach of them that reproached thee fell on me. Philippians, I close with this. Philippians chapter 2, verse 21. For all seek their own, and not the things which are in Christ Jesus, or Jesus Christ. Bear ye one another burden, and fulfill the law of Christ. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. True Christian surrenders things which may be innocent in themselves, but nevertheless, they become a stumbling block to others. And he's willing to say, okay, I'm not going that way anymore. because I think more of you than myself. I'll guarantee you.
Marcia, listen to me now.
I'll guarantee you that if you love your wife, forget about yourself, you'll never be loved so loved in your whole life. It's when you say, it's not about me. If he wants that, I'm going to give him that. If she needs it, I'm going to get it for her. You know, we get so caught up in it's about me. Gimme. I want this. I got to have this. Let me tell you something. You don't got to have that. All you need is water and food. And a vehicle. You don't have to have a Cadillac. Ford will work. Chevy will work. Just get in the thing. If it runs, thank God. If it doesn't ring, run. Call the boys. Hey, I need some help, this old junker. We like working on junkers. It's not about us. Hey, I need some help. Help them. Find ways to help people. Find ways to show the love of Jesus Christ to people, because then they're going to say, hey, I'll bet you're one of them. You're one of Jesus' boys, aren't you? One man was running through a city, and he ran into this kid, and he says, I'm sorry, man. I didn't mean to bump into you. And the kid says, be you one of Jesus' kids? Yeah, I'm one of Jesus' kids. You sure nice. You sure look like your daddy. Amen. You act like your daddy. Let's act like your dad. Oh, I don't know how to help you. I wish I could. I wish you'd just get over some of your junk that's in your heart and your life. There's people that are going to try everything they can to tie you down and try to get you to, you know, hey, listen, I'm going to tell you something. You're free when you serve Jesus. You're free when you help other people. And then you're going to find people that when you're trying to love them, trying to help them, they're going to cuss you anyway. And then what do you want to do? Forget it. I'm not going to do that anymore. No, so that's Satan. Satan always tries to get you to stop something which is good. Always. He'll try everything he can to keep you from getting to church. Try everything he can from helping people. You know, you're going to help this person. All of a sudden something happens and you're on your way to do that and it seems like you can't do it. Hey, just put it in your black book. You're going to do it anyway. You're going to get beat up anyway, so you might as well get the reward for it. Amen? You can't get away from trouble. You can't get away from problems. You can't get away from heartache. This is the world. This is it. This is where we're at. But you can certainly make other people happy. You can certainly make other people happy. And what the Bible said? For what the right man so he reaps. Hey, Clyde, you're going a little bit. Have you ever helped other people that their wife, their husband is going on DDY or whatever? Yeah. So, guess what? Someone's going to take care of help you today. That's the way we're supposed to be. Amen? We're supposed to be listening. What can I help? See somebody's got some bad pair of shoes on. Help them. Somebody's got a headlight out in their car. Help them. You know? I don't know how many times I've helped other people. It'll be receptive. Somebody, somewhere. You clean somebody's house, you did this, you did that. Somebody will come back and help you. Live the life of love. I wish I could just give you a transfusion tonight and it'd all go in you, amen? Just say, man. I wish we'd just have a flash drive and just plug it in you, amen? And there it is. Hey, I'm Mr. Love! You're rotten up. Thank you. I love you. I don't like you. I love you. Well, that's corny, isn't it? But it really is. It's truth.
for man. I gotta tell you this. A couple years ago, one of my friends was over in Afghanistan. And there was a kid that was a Christian kid that he probably was so heavenly minded, notoriously good, one of those guys. He used to bug a lot of the guys over there. He's always talking about Jesus. And one day, what do they call them, devices? Huh? One of those devices exploded and splattered him. He was supposed to go home. He re-upped. And this is what that guy said. All those times I laughed at him and teased him about his faith. But he had something that I didn't have. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. Let's live it. Quit talking about it. Let's live it. Looking ways that you can help people. Looking ways you can find somebody who needs something. You say, well, I don't know how I can do that. They'll be. He said, I can't afford something big. You might get something small. You might get something that they need. They encourage them. Long line that somebody actually, you can say, hey, just want you to know I'm praying for you. Or text them, just want you to know I'm praying for you. I don't know about you, but that sure is nice. You get a text out of the clear blue, say, hey, think of you today, praying for you today. Amen. Father.